We've already established this week that creativity is not limited to things like painting or the piano. Creativity goes beyond the things we tend to think of as creative pursuits. And people who want to encourage more people to exercise their creativity muscles gather at Southern Oregon University for the weekend for the first ever creativity conference at SOU. Creativity in education and how to encourage it will be a focus. That's the comfort zone of our next guest, who will be one of the presenters at the conference. Dr. Ronald Baghetto is a professor of educational psychology at the University of Connecticut and the director of Innovation House at UConn. He's also editor-in-chief of the Journal of Creative Behavior, and he's really coming back to Oregon after spending several years at the U of O in Eugene. So, Ronald Baghetto, a happy homecoming, I guess.
Thank you. It's great to be on Jefferson Exchange.
So, how long were you at the University of Oregon?
About 12 years, 12 and a half years.
Mm-hmm. And was creativity always your focus, or is that a focus you adopted over the course of your career?
It was always my focus, looking at creativity, but through the lens of an educational context and what that means, predominantly in K-12 classrooms, but also higher ed settings.
And so can we assume that creativity education is about bringing out creativity in students?
Absolutely. It's about bringing out creativity in students, but also in teachers, and recognizing that, you know, creativity is a human capacity that we all have. And so really it's not about trying to, you know, give creativity to people, but really create conditions where they feel confident expressing themselves in new and different ways.
All right. So that's a key concept right there. We had Dan Denai on a couple of days ago, the conference organizer, who says, yeah, creativity can be taught. But the bigger issue is that there is some innate level of creativity in all of us, and not just the people who can play the piano or dance ballet.
Absolutely. Any human endeavor, we can approach it creatively. So the question is, when is it beneficial to do so? When is it not beneficial to do so? How do we approach tasks more creatively? And so that's part of what creative and educational context is about, is helping young people, but also educators, recognize, you know, when it might be beneficial to approach things in new and different ways.
So let me start with the negative space first, because that's really intriguing. There are times when it's not beneficial to encourage creativity, you say.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's something that as a proponent of creativity, I often have to remind myself. But and it's something I think that's really helpful for young people to understand. And one of my favorite little thought experiments that I often use is, so as I'm planning for my trip, I'm flying from Connecticut to Oregon. You know, the last thing I'd want to hear is the pilot coming on and saying something like, yeah, this is a routine flight. There's a body of water here. And I'm going to try this creative water landing I've been thinking about. You know, I mean, there's absolutely no reason to do that. That would be a horrible thing to happen. But on the other hand, if the plane was in trouble and going down over a body of water, then by all means, try any creative approach you can. So I think that really kind of puts a fine point on when creativity might not be valuable and when it might be needed. So I think what that gets at is when we find ourselves at an impasse, or we're faced with uncertainty, or we want to improve something, which also involves uncertainty, that's a good time to try to do and think in new ways. And that's what creativity is about, is approaching things and trying to resolve that uncertainty in a productive way. And so in the educational context, there's situations where that might not be a good risk for young people or even for teachers. But we need to provide those opportunities so that young people can engage with uncertainty that they face in school and outside of school, both now and in the future, in creative and productive ways.
Is the terminology fairly critical, especially with younger students? I mean, I just wonder if you want to be careful not to say, kids, don't be creative now.
Right. So I think part of it is just helping them realize that the definition of creativity, kind of a standard definition, is the situationally defined blend of originality. And a lot of people recognize that originality is part of creativity, but it's more than originality. It's about also meeting the task constraints, doing things effectively, resolving a problem. And so what I try to do is take that definition and make it more accessible in an educational context, and basically say, really all creativity is about is meeting predetermined criteria in a new, different, or unexpected way. And so, you know, if a kid's taking a standardized test, they're not going to be rewarded for doing something different in that context. And that's kind of one of the challenges we face is, you know, there's a lot of times in school when, you know, success is defined as doing what's expected and how it's expected. And so part of the work is understanding as educators and parents and coaches and educational leaders, when might it be beneficial to open up that definition a bit and say, okay, here's predetermined criteria, but let's allow young people, let's allow teachers, let's allow educational leaders to meet those criteria in different ways, in creative ways. And so, you know, a simple approach would be you teach a kid a one way to solve a math problem, and then you invite them to come up with as many different ways as they can. And in that context, if they can generate that, then they're doing it creatively. And the nice thing about that is other young people can recognize a different way that maybe they didn't understand before. And even a teacher can learn in a situation like that. So creativity really does make a contribution to the learning and lives of others when done so in a way that allows us to kind of open up the pathways to meeting those criteria.
And in the example you just gave, though, with the math problem, I mean, you want to get the right answer, but the question is that there are a couple of different pathways to get there and let people explore those.
Exactly. And so I think part of it is, you know, in educational context, we often overplan learning experiences. We give students predetermined problems. We have a predetermined way of solving those problems. We already know what the outcome is going to be, and we have a set of criteria. And so what I try to do in my work is help educators understand how can we open these possibilities up. So in the math example, maybe you say, okay, I'll show you one way that's maybe an efficient way, but let's look at different ways. Or why don't you come up with your own problem using this procedure? So can you come up with different problems where you can apply this procedure? Or can you come up with your own product to demonstrate your understanding? And as educators, we would still maintain kind of the criteria to help young people understand when they're being successful or when they're not. So I think that's an important thing, is it's not like you're going to remove all the constraints. We still want to provide students with opportunities to generate new ways of thinking and acting, but in an otherwise very supportive and structured educational environment.
Dr. Ronald Baghetto, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a professor of educational psychology at the University of Connecticut, formerly of the University of Oregon for a dozen years, coming back to Oregon for the Creativity Conference at Southern Oregon University in Ashland this weekend, Friday through Monday. You can join the conversation on the Exchange now. Share your thoughts about creativity and ways in which you've seen it expressed well or squelched, perhaps, in your experience, and ask questions of the doctor as well. 800-838-3760 if you want to get in by phone, or send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. I do wonder, Ron, if at this point in history, though, teachers feel a little squeezed on time and on the things they need to accomplish and money for support services and all that sort of thing, if creativity sometimes gets short shrift or often gets short shrift in the classroom.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Teachers are under a great deal of pressure. Teachers are never going to get more time. And there's often pressure on teachers to do things in kind of expected ways and teach their young people to do that. And so part of it is helping educators and ourselves just recognize, okay, if we can't get more time, how might we use our time a little bit differently? And when might we allow students to kind of engage with the uncertainty that is necessary for creative expression? And maybe it's just doing a project that we spend 15 minutes a week on, or maybe it's during homeroom period or an after-school experience. But what my work is really trying to focus on is, you know, if one of the goals of school, and there's a lot of debate about what are the aims of education, but I think internationally most folks would agree that part of it is to prepare young people for the future. And the future is unknown, and the present, in fact, is also unknown. So when do we ever prepare young people to kind of navigate the uncertainty that they face in life? And can we bring that into school using academic subject matter and putting it to creative use? And so part of my work focuses on how can we create learning experiences that allow students to identify problems that matter to them, and maybe other folks aren't even recognizing those, or older people or adults aren't recognizing those problems. So young people can often identify problems that are facing them in school, in the community, or beyond. And then having the young people explain, why does this problem matter? What will happen if we don't address it? Will it get worse? Will it get better? Will it stay the same? And then what are we going to do about it? So engaging partners in the community or experts. And finally, looking at how can we make sure that this work lives on. So I call these legacy challenges. So the idea here is students design a project that's aimed at solving a problem creatively, working with other people, and and doing something that can live on. So passing it on to the next. So if it's a group of third graders, maybe they pass it on to second graders. If it's a group of high school seniors, they pass it on to the juniors, or they pass it on to a community organization that will carry their work on. So I think when they do that kind of work, that really makes a difference, that has a positive impact. It allows them to creatively put what they're learning in school to use and actually benefit the lives of others.
And it sounds like collaboration is certainly a key part of that. So part of the creativity is not just what you're able to bring to it, but the kinds of things that you can spur in other people and the dynamic you have as a group.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, even, you know, individual creative products and so on often occur and always occur in a social, cultural, historical context. So, you know, there are some ideas that, you know, even our own ideas that are our most cherished are kind of half ours or half somebody else's. They're never kind of our own ideas. We're never really alone in creative endeavors. And so part of doing creative work, which is a little bit different than what we typically do in school, schools typically having the same age kids doing the same thing in the same way. What creative projects allow us to do is bring in the difference that's necessary for creativity. And so allowing kids to do things differently, to work with different folks, to get different perspectives, and to do, even if they're working on the same project, everyone can't do the same thing. So to approach that project by breaking it into different parts and allowing some kids to work on certain aspects of it while others work on other aspects. And most importantly, to connect with members beyond the walls of the classroom. You know, so you might have an uncle who's a plumber or an electrician, and they can kind of bring their expertise to bear on problems as well.
Well, and here again, it is largely about problem solving we're talking about, rather than what people often think of as creativity. It's like, oh, you know, he can act, he can sing, he can dance, that sort of thing. This is a very different definition for creativity. And is it hard to get that across to people, though, that you're not talking about, you know, the painters, the dancers, the singers?
Yeah, and I think it's not excluding that form of creative expression. So, you know, this particular form of, you know, what I call legacy challenge is really about problem solving, and it's part of the curriculum I've developed for the students in Innovation House, for example, and for K-12 students as well. But even if you're, let's say, an artist or a dancer, you're still working through the uncertainty of the movement. So if you're designing a new dance, choreographing a new dance, or you're working the canvas, you're still kind of resolving the uncertainty. It could be the uncertainty of a feeling that you have. And you don't know how it's gonna, the painting is going to turn out or how the dance is going to turn out. So creativity is always emergent in that way. It might not be the typical kind of problem that we're solving, but we're still kind of working through that uncertainty of, you know, what will this finished painting look like? What will the final choreographed dance, how will that take form? And so there is this kind of unresolved component to creativity, even in an artistic form. And so I think it's important to still include that in what I'm talking about. But when we're trying to make it concrete, what does that look like in the context of a classroom? Oftentimes having students engage in problems that matter to them is one of the best ways to kind of bring them into that kind of creative space.
We're talking to Dr. Ronald Baghetto here on the Jefferson Exchange, a professor of educational psychology at the University of Connecticut and the head of Innovation House at UConn. He's coming back to Oregon. He spent 12 years at the U of O, coming back for a conference in creativity at Southern Oregon University this weekend. And here's our chance to get you involved in the conversation. What is it that you want to know about creativity and how it is encouraged in other people or ways you've seen it demonstrated? 800-838-3760 to get into the conversation by phone, or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. We've only mentioned Innovation House a couple times now, but haven't defined what it is. It sounds, I mean, what a great name, Innovation House.
Yeah, it's kind of an exciting opportunity. What the University of Connecticut is doing, and many universities have done this, is they're providing opportunities for first and second year students. That's often when we lose students when they come to the university or going to higher ed. Those first couple of years are kind of critical for ensuring that students will kind of complete and sustain their work there. And so what Innovation House is, it's one of several learning communities that's thematic. So there's Engineering House, there's Women in Science House, there's a variety of different kind of interest-related houses where students work with faculty, kind of live together literally. They have community rooms where they can study. But what Innovation House offers is a little bit something different in that it's interdisciplinary. So students of all majors, including students who are undeclared or still exploring kind of a major, can come together, and what we do is we work on these legacy challenges. So they get a chance to move from the imaginative space of generating an idea and thinking about asking the question, what if, you know, identifying a problem, exploring what the possibilities are, and taking that hopefully to fruition in developing a way to resolve that. That could lead to a product. Some students develop products and maybe want to launch a company. It could lead to solving a social problem. And even in cases where young people in the Innovation House, for example, try something out and it kind of falls apart. And that often happens in creative work. There are no guarantees. And so what I try to do to ensure that that's still a positive learning experience is we have an exhibition of learning at the end where students talk about what their products and projects were, even if they have nothing to show for it. They still have learned from it. So we talk about what were you trying to do? What happened? What did you learn about the process? And most importantly, what did you learn about yourself? So everybody has a chance to tell that story. And I think that's an important component, is kind of looking at the messiness behind the kind of creative effort, even when it's successful and when it's not successful, learning is happening along the way. And so that's how I connect it to learning. And those legacy challenges absolutely can and have been used in K-12 studies as well. But that's, Innovation House is a nice venue for doing that. We have a large maker space so the students can kind of prototype and actually create a physical artifact. But it's all about letting them take the lead while we provide the support and criteria and really kind of trying to do creative work, taking an idea into action.
And do some people who didn't have majors previously figure out what their majors are going to be based on the things they've done through Innovation House?
I think they start exploring. It's still a little early in year one and two, but interestingly, we've had some students who were pretty dead set on a major actually decide that that's not what they want to pursue. And the reason why that sometimes happens is because they are now learning with folks from other majors, and they're really getting the chance to pursue problems and ideas that really interest them and connect with faculty in and outside of campus and other experts where they can really start generating new possibilities for their own identity, which I think is a really powerful component of this as well. So, yeah, that does happen, and I think that's a positive outcome as well.
Ron Baghetto, a friend of mine recently retired from the STEM school pretty close to UConn, Barrows STEM Academy. Is that an indication that creativity in education is well supported in Connecticut?
I think, you know, everywhere, I've done work internationally, I think people are interested in it. It's just hard to understand what does that look like because we all have our own conception of what creativity means. And I think one of the problems that we have in education is slogans like think outside the box. And the problem with that slogan is creativity actually always works within constraints. We're never in kind of a constraint-free environment, especially in education. So I think a better slogan would be how to think creatively inside the box. That doesn't mean we always should accept the box that has been given to us. Sometimes we need to build a better box, but we're always working within constraints. So when you have STEM academies and different spaces like that are trying to look at how we can use academic learning to really not be an end in and of itself, but to actually, you know, maybe make the world a better place. I think those are aspirational goals, but I think that's what folks are really starting to look at and realizing that creativity can really play a key piece in that, allowing young people to kind of have a voice while still learning the academic subject matter.
We talked about the fact that there's a crunch. You know, there's time and money constraints on education now, and in fairly serious ways, it seems like. Plus the pressure that you mentioned earlier of standardized testing. I noticed that one of your books seems to fall into this realm, that teaching for creativity in the Common Core classroom. So even with all the standardized testing and all the requirements, you're saying educators can opt to at least spend some time focusing on creativity.
Yeah, I think there's opportunities to do that. Again, what standards offer you are part of the constraints. And so it provides kind of the context for you to do things differently. Now, it's true that in some educational contexts, teachers are not supported at all in, you know, teaching standards differently or allowing their students to learn standards differently. So, you know, the ideal setting is when you have educational leaders and a school board who allows schools and administrators, teachers, and most importantly, students to kind of experiment with the content matter that they're learning and to put it to use in different ways. But even if you're kind of in your own classroom, there are still moments, I think, when you can kind of open it up. And I often say that one of the greatest barriers to creativity is often ourselves. And that's not meant to deny that, you know, there are inequities in education, there are extreme pressures, but that oftentimes, I think we can, if we just take a moment to think about the slight changes we can make and just open up our curriculum a bit more and invite students into it, that we can really be amazed at what young people are able to do and even what we ourselves are able to do. So part of it is trusting ourselves as educators and as professionals and trusting our students. And so if we set the criteria, you know, we can create a space where students can meet those in as many different ways as they can come up with.
Just about a minute left here. Time to ask about what you do for LEGO.
Oh, sure. So, you know, the LEGO Foundation has invited some creativity experts in to provide some advising on work they're doing. They blend creativity, learning, and play together in a project that they're working on. And so they're trying to find ways to connect what they do with creativity and learning. And so what they've done is brought in a group of educators and creativity experts and developmental psychologists and so on to help them think through what kind of tools they can design to help parents and young people and educators express their creativity, and obviously probably using their bricks, but beyond that, moving into recognizing that this is an important aspect of human expression. And so I think, you know, there's companies, there's educators, and I think there's just people around the world who recognize the importance and power of human expression. It's something we all have. And so how can we find ways to kind of allow people, whatever age they are, to express that in their learning and life?
Ronald Baghetto is professor of educational psychology at the University of Connecticut and the director of Innovation House at UConn, also the editor-in-chief of the Journal of Creative Behavior. So he might know a few things about creativity that he's bringing to the Creativity Conference at Southern Oregon University this weekend, which is a homecoming after his 12 years at the U of O. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Take care.